Hello, world.
Now you're good.
I'm June. What do you?
We should keep that in.
Hello, world.
Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this June 9th, 2024, session 46. Your host and program director here, James, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habacker. Seth, the mics are on. Let's roll.
I almost said good morning.
It's like, hard not to.
What show are we doing now? I
don't know. We do a lot of shows.
We do a lot of shows.
We ask the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage. From stage to soaps, the Academy Awards to deep space, our next guest, Joel Goodness. Joel, it is so good to have you with us again.
Hello, world.
Nice.
What? Is it Baby June says from Gypsy? Hello,
so good.
World.
Yeah.
Oh, we missed you, man. It's good to have you. Joel is here with us in our second of our actor series, where we kind of a part two of this, if you will. We're going to talk with Joel about a couple of things. Working with Nicolas Cage in the commercial you did. You're dancing at the Academy Awards. But I want to kick things off because, selfishly, I have not gotten to talk to you or see you in a while. How are you? How have you been, sir?
I have been great. Okay. Whirlwind in the past, was it 2 years? Has it been? Was it one?
Not quite. Not quite 2 years.
Almost. Wow, yeah, just like about. Yeah. Well, I bought a house in Appleton.
Nice.
I helped a family member who was in a separation. They needed to get out of the house. And then I was staying with my sister who was renting a home up in Appleton for 4 days and then 3 days back here. And I just said, you know what? This is ridiculous. Gas back and forth. We decided to buy the house. So we have the house there, house in Rapids. And I come back here. It's my little getaway from all the craziness from my sister. Love you.
Oh, relate to that one.
Love you. Hate you. No. So it's been nice to have that. My father just turned 98.
Wow.
He moved over to Appleton in December.
Oh, wow.
We were dealing with some esophagus cancer and had radiation for him. And then remodeled the house, got, you know, toilets replaced, all that good stuff that happens. And then walk-in shower put in, and then he came over. And it has been a pleasure to have him there nonstop.
Very good.
He got better and took off for Florida for a month and was down there visiting family down there. And came back, and now we're just plugging through for the summer, getting plans for the deck putting on in the backyard in Appleton, and life is good.
Oh, it's so good
nice.
To hear, man.
Yeah.
And the best news hearing that about your dad.
Yep, thank
That's
you.
Fantastic. Yep. That's really good.
It's incredible, 98.
Yeah. Good on him.
That's
good
awesome.
I was surprised I made it to 35. I got stories.
We're going to get to those. I do. We do have to talk about Joseph first. Mm-hmm. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is being premiering the 19th of this month, June 19th. They'll have a show on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. This is happening in the Stevens Point area. Joel, I thought first, this is one of the more popular shows.
It is, Andrew Lloyd Webber did, yes. And Tim Rice, actually.
Is this a show that you have done before? Is it one that you have wanted to do?
It is actually a show that I've never done. And it is something that I always wanted to do. I had auditioned, actually, for the first national touring company that was sitting in Chicago back in the 80s. And I was probably 18 or 19, just so green. And I went there to audition, and I got called back. And then I never heard from them again. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I went, okay, you're good, but you're not good enough. And so I just took that and went on. And I'd never done it. So now this is exciting because it is a great group of people, the Playhouse Theater Group. They are a group of young, talented people that get together. A great director and Tori Fletcher Schultz. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I get her name correct.
Yep,
Tori.
That's right.
Let's go by Tori. And she is incredible. She has this group of kids, and it's like they have this training ground, and they bring them in and very young, and they build it up and build it up, build it up. Now we have got college guys and gals that are truly a force to be reckoned with, talent. They don't do this normally on, you know, this is just get together for fun. And these male dancers, which I'm really impressed because I started at 18 and then went from there. These guys have been doing this since they were 14, 13, you know,
wow.
on. And You're so quick and so good at picking things up. And I went to rehearsal last night, and they were amazing to watch, the whole group, and especially the guys. Because most guys, you know, they don't start until later on. Mm-hmm. And the girls have started very, very young. And it was really nice to see that this whole group has been nurturing each other, and it's a free, judge-free area and mm-hmm. group, and it's so nice to have that, and especially for Pride Month, speaking of. So Joseph, Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, it's all about acceptance and love, and that's what this group is all about, which is really nice.
I mean, and there's a rainbow in the, I mean, the
post. Yes, exactly. You got all the colors of the world.
I'm so glad you touched on that. I couldn't think of a better time to be performing this and have
Correct.
This show
yep.
going.
In the Gay Pride Month, yes. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what it's all about, acceptance, and that's all I can say on that, yeah.
And there's so much, too, about theater that I think has always been a home for that, mm-hmm. For so many of us outsiders, for so many of us that feel that we don't fit in anywhere.
And I would put a plug in for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, because they have a great training program now with the Children's Theater, led by Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And she's doing a great job.
Yeah,
she's doing a great job and has been doing it from the start. And she, mm-hmm. I believe she started that. And now the executive director of the theater group also is very good at getting the younger people involved, mm-hmm. and we have a great lineup for shows this mm-hmm. next season, which I'm really impressed.
Yes.
So yay, kudos, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Yeah. I can't wait to come back, and hopefully you'll have me back, so we'll see.
The only thing I ask is that you don't audition for Mortimer and Arsenic, because I don't know if I can beat you, and I need that role. I need that. We're looking forward to another great season. Darn it, I've already lost it. We're looking forward to that. And looking forward to this show, man. Who are you going to be playing in, Joseph?
I am playing the Pharaoh, who is the reason that Joseph gets to where he is, because Pharaoh has these dreams, and it's AKA Elvis impersonator, I guess you could say. He has a little Elvis flair to him, and so come on out, see me in a skirt. They call it tunic.
Yeah, yeah. Say that. It's a tease, I guess. Yep. I don't know.
Some people may like it. Some people will.
Yeah. I can't imagine how many roles you've done if you looked at every single part you've ever played, from small to big or anything. Mm-hmm. But I know your approach is going to change with every one of these. How has your been approach with this character?
Well, I've been watching a lot of Elvis, and I'll be doing the Vegas or the Blue Hawaii Elvis. He's gained a few pounds, and because I'm definitely not the younger Elvis anymore. The moves are a little bit more sublime. They're not so hip swaying as much mm-hmm. as the younger one was, but we do what we can. I won't have a walker with me, but I will be definitely the older Elvis.
When it comes to this show, to me, this has always been one of those shows that it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to be able to take in this show and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something to you that spoke to you about wanting to audition for it? You certainly mentioned earlier and the kind of tie in there and almost a full circle moment for you with it. But at this age where, being real, you don't have to work, but you want to work.
I love to, yes, yes.
So what was it? Is there something in particular that made you want to be a part of this show?
Well, it's the passion, first of all. I love creating these characters. And secondly, when you're with a younger group of people, you have this energy that keeps me younger, at least in mind. And that's what's nice. I'm not able to keep up with the dance that some of them can do, but at least the energy is there and I feel like a kid again. And that's the beauty of it, is that I find joy in seeing other kids find this, their sense of themselves and flower. It's incredible to see how just the simple choreography brings out these shy children or young adults, and they find their imagination flourishes. And it's incredible to see that, and especially with today's world, with the technology that's going on with phones and everything, the imagination is lost because everything is on that phone. And I think we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, the drive and what happens with the passion. And I think a lot of that is lost nowadays because of everyone's on their phones. They don't have that imagination. Everything is on the phone. So to have them get out of their comfort zone and really have that imagination flourish is really incredible to see and watch.
I want to piggyback on that a little bit later and get into more of that with you. With this show in particular, is there something that you that stands out that you're looking forward to doing more than anything else in the show?
Well, because I only come on for that one number, I will be watching everybody else from the sidelines and enjoying their performances.
Yeah.
We have Mayor Mike Wiza. Stevens Point Mayor is actually playing Jacob in the show.
Oh, he's in the show.
Yes. Wow. Oh, yes. He's got a big role. So it has been fun. I saw him for the first time last night with the rehearsals. And we have a lot of adults playing different roles, which is very fun to have this balance of kids, high school, college kids, and then adults. All playing different roles, and that's what I love about it, is you have the children's choir, you have the teenagers, college kids, and then the adults. And the adults, too, they want to come out and have fun and play. I mean, they haven't done it. We have, you know, our jobs that we go and we work 9 to 5s and we come home. We have the wife, kids, family, all that good stuff. And we don't have that fun time to explore and enjoy and create. And that's kind of what this is all about. So great group. Great fun to be with CWACT as well as Playhouse Theater Group and Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. This whole area is booming with great creativity, and that's what I love about Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on this. It's something that we, as much as I think I have a handle on that, we, Seth and I, a little while ago, were in, did an interview with the Wausau Community Theater, their Cole Porter production, Anything Goes.
Yep.
And I had a couple of the cast members on I have not met before, and incredibly talented.
Yes.
Like, they were incredible.
You have Sarah?
Yes. Oh, I think Sarah was one.
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Sarah was when we did CWACT Crazy for You, which was my show I did 30 years ago. We did that, and I played Zangler, and Sarah was Polly Baker, and she was phenomenal, talented, and just a sweetheart, and could dance, could sing. And a very beautiful person. Love her dearly.
There's just so much talent, so many great shows, and so many good things to take in this area. Encourage you to take this one in, everybody. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat premiering July 19th. Got shows going on till the 22nd, 7 p.m. start time nightly, and this all takes place at the Spash Theater in Stevens Point. If people want to get tickets, I have StevensPointArea.com that I can send them to, Joel.
And
or do you have
PlayhousePresents.com as well, I believe. Yeah,
you can get
tickets
for that.
There. Yes, it's going to be a fun show. Bring your kids, family, grandparents, everybody.
We are going to be doing our best to talk about it on our morning shows. Make sure you guys got a great crowd coming up for it.
Yeah.
And we also want to make sure that people keep in mind, too, as we're talking about this, one of the things, the purpose of this conversation is to encourage many, many more people to be a part of community theater.
Exactly.
And wherever you're listening to us, there's probably a community theater. And there maybe you don't feel comfortable on stage. There's stuff to do behind the scenes. There's always other jobs that you can volunteer or be a part of.
There's a great line from Grease. If you can't be an athlete, then you can be an athletic supporter.
All right. Yes, that's a great
line. I remember
that
one.
Yes, that is a good one. So good. We're speaking with Joel Goodness right now and part of our actor series here at Director's Cut. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Joel, and we're going to talk a little Nick Cage, dancing at the academies, and I want to talk a little bit about, actually, I'm going to mention Pat Sajak for a reason. I got to tie into that.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right.
Coming up on WFHR's Director's Cut. Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. Seth and James here with you, and we're talking with our great friend Joel Goodness. We just got done talking about Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. We'll mention that again before we wrap up and how you can get tickets and take in the show. But we want to go back to episode one with Joel here, where we never really got a chance to kind of get follow-ups on a couple things. One of them, you did a commercial with Nicolas Cage, and I've been on the air and I've mentioned a number of times. He's one of the actors I've studied a little bit, not so much for his craft. I think he's a very solid actor.
Yeah, he is.
But I think Nicolas Cage, saying he's a solid actor is underselling him. He's an Academy Award winner, for God's sake.
Hello.
He's a Coppola. But this is the thing I always like to mention about him, that he got his break off, not off his name necessarily, and how impressed I think that is when I hear of that happening. That Nicolas Cage is also one of the examples I use for my actors, where you can be a great actor, but you got to have a good director.
Yeah.
If you notice in his movies, when he kind of goes crazy, Nick Cage goes at a 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
He's usually working with a director that is not that solidified or really has a great relationship with him.
Mm.
But if you put him with a good director, and you put him with somebody that he got a good relationship with, that's where you get Nicolas Cage. Yeah. That's where you get Magic. That leaving Las Vegas, Nick Cage and right. stuff. What was it like working with him? How did this happen?
Well, I had a friend who I had met through dance in Chicago at Gus Giordano's. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Locus is his name. He's still working great. He's dancing all over the place, choreographing. He was one of the dancers in Coming to America, which was a great, great, funny, funny movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
and those guys played the different characters. But Jimmy was this little man that could dance like crazy. He had this incredible leap or jump, which he got really high up in the air for being a smaller build. He could fly, and it was incredible watching him. And he was with the company. And later on in life, I went out to Los Angeles after New York, and I had seen him in New York. He'd come out and was trying to dance in New York. But he had danced with Paul Abdul. He had danced with Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson in one of his many of Janet Jackson's videos. So really well known dancer for his time, and he started choreographing, and I had gone to auditions for this, and we saw each other, and that's kind of how it came up. He said, "You don't have to come to callbacks, you're in." And I went, "Okay."
Boy, that was, yeah.
So it was nice. Oh yes, yeah, yeah, and so it was great. We were out in the desert. In 110, it was crazy. We had these tents set up, and we learned the choreography, you know, in the studio in Los Angeles. And then we went out to the desert to shoot for 3 days. We stayed at hotels. But during the day, we were literally out in the desert doing this dance. And the funny thing was, we were in these hot silver uniforms with silver helmets that we could not see out of. And then we had to keep our blocking and our staging. Mm-hmm. And some people had heat exhaustion, and they were dropping like flies, basically.
Oh, no.
And so we had the air-conditioned tent that we would walk into in between breaks and cool down. And we got back out again, and then we filmed certain things. But Nicolas came in, and it was kind of funny because he was in this trailer.
Of course. Yeah.
As he should be.
Right, right.
And it was for this Japanese video game, I want to say. I forget now what it's named, but you can Google it and you can see. We are all these silver aliens dancing next to him. And he comes out and just does this one little line, and that was it. But he was very, very friendly, very nice. And again, we had to do certain takes. And then other things were just group shots. And so that was my little claim to fame with dancing with Nicolas Cage.
That's awesome. Have you done a lot of commercial work?
I have, yes.
We touched on this a little bit the first time.
But I was doing, in Florida, I did a lot of beer commercials for some reason, because the right-to-work state for commercials, you didn't have to be in unions. So, and because of that, a lot of commercials were shot there because the cost was lower.
It was cheaper,
for
right,
production,
yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So Polar Beer, I've done probably 2 or 3 Polar Beer commercials. I was the leading man getting out of the Lamborghini and with my black tuxedo on and getting the girl in red out of the car, and we'd go into this nightclub, and it was all about my Polar Beer.
Nice. Yeah, of course.
And then in Los Angeles, of all places, I was cast for a Milwaukee Best commercial. So here we are in Los Angeles and the Beast. And there you can see that commercial where I'm coming out of the crazy, the Beast in the refrigerator's opening, and we have to have that beer. I was a hand model for, what was it, for Heineken, European market. I did a lot of Latin commercial markets, Polar Beer, Labatt's Beer out of Canada, and trying to think else, but a lot of beer commercials. And then for some reason, I've got that beer face.
Your face makes me
want to drink beer.
You make me want to drink, Joel.
Yes.
You make me want to drink.
A lot of my family will say that too. but I did a Roman centurion for Centrum Vitamins. I did a lot of videos in New York for when the step aerobics first came out. I was a demonstrator for the beginners, intermediate, and advanced. Yes, that was quite exciting. and a lot of videos, music videos for bands that were coming up. Of course, MTV was big back then. And that was my time.
When I was a kid, first, like, 7, 8 years old, studying acting, looking at acting and everything, I'm thinking, okay, there's theater acting and there's acting commercial on camera.
Correct.
You know?
Yep.
That kind of, as you get older and you start to see more and more mediums and more things, you start to see, oh, well, there's commercial work.
Yep.
There's theater. There's these different things. Do you find yourself preparing differently for a commercial that's like 30 seconds to a minute compared to a play that you're playing a deeper character?
Oh, yeah. So? Yeah, yeah. For a commercial, for film, there's less movement. You're not being big like you would be on stage. You want to remember your lines, of course. They have a card off the side. But it's all about the intent of promoting that product that they're advertising for. And the more you can, and it depends upon what you're doing. If you're doing a spokesperson where you're speaking about a product, or if you're just a member in the commercial, like I did, a GI Associates commercial here in Wausau, Green Bay area,
right,
where I've done several of the commercials for them. And Fleet Farm, of course, did a few of those. I was an auto mechanic. I was a home repair guy, different things I've done for Fleet Farm, Hunter, so a lot of crazy things.
Oh, I appreciate you kind of running this
down. It pays the
down.
Bills, yeah, and that's what it's all
right.
about,
exactly.
is you find anything and everything to be in the business. You do commercial work, you sing and dance, you act. If you can do a film or a movie in between, you get those figured in. You're always auditioning for your next part or for your next paycheck, so to speak. And in New York, I would go to 3 or 4 auditions a day and then go to my bread and butter job at night, which was catering. And that was either at the Metropolitan Museum of Art or the Opera House or A.B. Fisher Hall, all those different venues that I was working for catering companies. We'd go in and cater at night. And then the next day I'd get up, look at the backstage or call my agents or whatever, and I'd have all these other auditions going on, plan for that, and then take off. So Los Angeles was pretty much feast or famine. You were either doing a lot of things at once, or there you were far in between, and then you're trying to do other things to do that. And then sometimes your work got so involved that you didn't have time to go do the things that you wanted to do, which was acting or doing all those things. So it was a great, great time.
Yeah.
But Los Angeles, I had some great times. Again, that's all I can say on that.
Gotcha.
And I have to admit to the audience, I was teeing you up a little bit. I know your career. I've studied it pretty good. But I do bring it up for a point, because the difference of being a struggling artist or a struggling actor and a surviving actor, mm-hmm. I think there's a big difference. And one of the things that I love to these conversations to be able to do is give young creatives out there, young actors, musicians, right. whatever you're doing, that insight that only experienced people can give.
Yep.
When I was 13, there was no way in the world I wasn't going to get my big break doing Shakespeare in the Park or something like that. I'm never going to play any stereotypical characters or anything like that. By the time I was 18, I'm like, I'll play Vinny the Pizza Guy. I'll do whatever.
Exactly.
Just get me my foot in the
yep,
door.
Yep, yep.
And from there, I can go and I can maybe get a little picky if I wanted at some point. But the majority of actors were working to work. We're working for that next gig.
Exactly.
And any time to note that, I think, is always really helpful, especially from somebody who has an established career.
Well, you want to be as versatile as possible. You want to be able to create those characters. And if they need Vinny the Pizza Guy, you do that. If they need a meat butcher or a real estate agent or a priest, a nun, or whatever the case is, you're playing those parts. And you want to be believable in all that. And that's what acting is all about. However, you can't just be an actor. You can't just be a dancer. You can't just be a singer at first. I mean, you if you want to work, I mean, there are some incredible talents and shows and platforms where people right now can get out and perform we've got talent, the star shows, all those different places where you can showcase your talent. We didn't have that back then, so we had to go out and audition every day, and hopefully we were seen by an agent or a talent scout of some sort, or somebody was doing a show, and that's kind of how LA happened for me. Mm-hmm. I was literally bartending at Atlas Supper Club, which was an incredible place at the Wiltern Theater Complex, beautiful 1940s Art Deco building, and it's still there. And this was a supper club, Atlas Supper Club, martini bar and dining, and it was an incredible place because all the venues that all the music venues that performed at the Wiltern Theater Complex, Dave Matthews Band, all these other groups that would come in and play, we got to see them because during that time we could walk over and see it because it was dead at the bar.
Right, right.
Or they would come over after the show and have dinner, and we got to meet a lot of those people. So it was really a great way to be in the business, but that still pay the bills with bartending. I was the bar manager, and so I met a lot of people. One of the things that we were talking about earlier is how that happened was I was bartending one night, and these two ladies were at the bar, and I was making drinks for them. And there was a show, a little review that was going on, and we were talking, and I was saying, you know, what this is all about. And she says, well, I'm the husband of the music director. And the other one said, well, I'm the wife of the music director, and I'm the wife of the choreographer, whatever the case was. So I went, oh, okay, great. Well, I was on Broadway. I did this show, and I was doing that. Now I'm here in LA, and they were asking me questions. And she says, you know, you might want to meet my husband. And I went, well, that would be great. And so she did. She introduced me to both men. One was the music director for the Jeff Foxworthy Show. And he says, hey, we're actually looking for some singers. And we're doing this episode where Jeff Foxworthy, the anniversary show, taking his wife out to the anniversary dinner. And they get in a fight. And he takes his buddy, Bill, and they go, and we are the waiters who sing Happy Anniversary. Oh, so nice. I had to go and audition for that. They booked me then, and I was doing that with Hinton Battle. Hinton Battle just passed away recently, about maybe 2 months ago. Mm. But he was a Tony Award winner for Tap Dance Kid. He was a Tony Award winner for Miss Saigon, and also for Dream Girls.
And Gregory Hines, too.
Maurice and Gregory both. Okay. And Maurice just passed away as well.
Yeah.
And Maurice was another choreographer that I worked with for when I was supposed to go to Michael Jackson tour. And I wasn't able to do that. So that's another story.
Part three.
Yeah. So getting back to that, the other man that I was meeting was the choreographer, Otis Salid, who choreographed the Academy Awards. And he said, okay, come on in. You don't have to go to the preliminary auditions. Just come on into callbacks. And I went into callbacks. I danced. And I got the job. And that was an incredible job. So it's not only do you have to have talent, but you also have to be your own manager. You have to make those connections. And when you are in those areas, you can't be a snob. You can't be rude. You have to be very outgoing and conversational, because these are those things that people want. They want to work with somebody that's not only talented, but also a nice person, so that they make their experience enjoyable as well. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. It's a group of people that come together, that are creating art, that are having fun, and are still respecting each other's boundaries. And that's what's nice about it. Yeah.
Speaking with Joel Goodness, part of our actor series, and Joel, you mentioned dancing at the academies. I want to touch on that. How did that happen, and how great was that experience?
It was incredible. Mm-hmm. It really was. Here I am, this kid from Wisconsin, Rapids, Wisconsin, dancing on the Academy Awards and meeting Billy Crystal, Kevin Spacey, all these famous people that you always see on TV and movies, you know, big screen, mm-hmm. and here they are right in front of you. And that's what was exciting about that. I was hired to do this show, and it was the musical movie, That Thing That You Do, with Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
So there's a song, That Thing That You Do, that was recorded by, I want to say, I forget the band group, and I should know that, but I don't offhand. You guys can Google that.
Yeah,
right.
But it was a nominated song for the Academy Awards. And so each nominated song was presenting that mm-hmm. year, their number, and they would do a dance montage. And so we rehearsed for, I want to say, 6 weeks to 2 months at the studios, on the Paramount studios. And we would go in and dance each day, rehearse, change things out, do all that, and just get it really clean and fine-tuned for that night. And then we would go to the rehearsals the day before, a couple days before maybe, and rehearse. And this was at the old place where they had the Academy Awards, and I forget now which
I know what you mean, but I can't remember right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't even.
Search engine.
Yes, yes. Another search for you.
Yes.
I believe it was 1997, maybe.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. And so here I was, two tickets if I wanted to go. I had tickets for the nosebleed seats, but we were backstage tour, backstage passes to get back there. And we had our dressing rooms, and we'd come out and do our number, and then we'd take off, and we'd go see the rest of the show if we wanted to. So it was kind of a fun time.
Yeah.
We were invited to Academy parties, different things, and it was fun to see those and experience those. And then, it's been great.
With something like that, because, I mean, there's doing Broadway, there's doing live work and some of these things, but an award show, let alone, you can make the argument, the biggest award show there is.
Correct.
How often did you get to rehearse? How often did you get to really even talk with other actors or anything? Or is it just kind of show up and do it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we had, as I said earlier, we had the rehearsal for 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks at the studios, Paramount Studios.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we did that, but we were in our studio rehearsing our number with other actors and dancers, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then we would have lunch. We'd go to the commissary. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then you see a lot of actors there. A lot of personalities that were at the commissary or walking past or whatever the case was. And then that night of the show, we would get in, get ready to do our number. And then they had to get those dressing rooms cleared out for the next group. So we pretty much went in there, had our costumes, did our number, and then got out. And that's why they gave us the two tickets. So in case we wanted to go see the show, we could do that. And so I think after that, I think I was just the high of performing on the Academy Awards and the excitement and trying to get out away from all that, because there were tons of cars and traffic.
Oh, I'm sure.
We just wanted
to get
home and enjoy the rest of the night. But we went to a few parties. We went back and got cleaned up, and then we went to a few Academy parties. And
there's lots. If people don't know, after the Academy Awards, there's tons of parties
in L.A. Yep.
And I maintain the reason they still do award shows is because of the parties afterwards. I'm pretty sure that's the reason.
They work hard. They want to celebrate. That's what it's about, because you are literally working, you know, 10 to 12, 15 hours a day. Some of these guys that are doing these movies and they want to relax and enjoy their revel in their laurels, I guess. Yep.
You know, I've always thought of award shows. It's great for anybody who enjoys an award show. But to me, the ratings or any of that stuff, it's here or there. Creatives enjoy this stuff. And much to the point of what you're saying there, we can, even if you don't work in the industry, you can appreciate the work that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And especially the SAG Awards for me, it's my favorite award show. That one is one where you really get to see people, let their hair down, but they seem calm. They seem relaxed a little bit more. Like they're able to actually be in the moment and enjoy things.
Because it's amongst our peers, and that's what SAG Awards is. It's voted by the peers, their actors, fellow actors that vote for them. It's not ticket sales, or it's not box office or the majority of public is their fellow peers that are voting for them, and that becomes a little bit more relaxed, I guess.
Mm.
The Wonders.
That's the Wonders.
I was going to say, I remember thinking about this because I believe it was the late Adam Schlesinger who wrote the song, who was with the band Fountains of Wayne.
And later
had a hit with Stacey's mom and a couple other things. Yeah. So I believe he was also involved in a lot of TV and movie music as well. Yeah. Sadly, he passed away during COVID, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
And that was known as the one-hit wonders because they had that one song.
that's right.
And that's what, even in the movie, Tom Hanks, that's what it was all about, is that they were from the 1960s group that was on their way up with the one big song, and how being in a band and the different conflicts that arise,
the dynamics,
personality, happen, and how one falls in love and the other one doesn't, and it's just crazy, and the band falls apart and they have this big hit, and that's kind of the story.
I believe Tom Hanks' first directed film.
That's correct. That is correct. Yep.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a fun little movie.
Yeah, it is. Good it is. Great up. Actors yep. are in there. Yep. And that have gone on to do great things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two that I remember that I just can't remember the names,
and,
unfortunately.
And Hanks' guy has gone on to direct some good stuff, too. He's all right. He's okay.
Tom Hanks?
I think it's Thomas Hanks. We're speaking with our favorite actor, Joel Goodness, right now. We'll be back with more fun here on Director's Cut. Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. Seth and James here with one of our favorite people, Joel Goodness, in our actor series. And one of the things that has come up recently for me as a teacher, in my last year teaching, really, I've come across a handful of actors that haven't necessarily had the hunger that I would like to see. And that's a personal thing, and not trying to project that on them. But even some of my fellow teachers, and actually had a student's parents come in and talk to us about it and seeing if they're seeing the same thing we are. And this morning I came across the news of Pat Sajak has his when we're airing recording this, Pat Sajak has his last Wheel of Fortune appearance coming up, and a lot of people are curious. Well, what's Pat going to do next? And right away, community theater. He's doing community theater. He's in a show. And he's actually in a show right now. He's rehearsing.
That's great.
And where he lives in Hawaii, he works at that community theater a lot. Mm-hmm. He's done The Odd Couple there. He's done a couple of other shows over the years. And now he can actually just really do
Have
theater.
Fun.
And enjoy. Yes. The hunger is still there for him. Yes. Pat Sajak does not have to work.
No.
Pat Sajak doesn't have to do this. But he wants to. He has a desire to, a hunger to.
Yep.
How you keep that hunger alive has always been a question that I've gotten from people, especially from younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't think about it. It's just there. It's eternal. And when I say that to the students oftentimes, there's almost a look of disappointment on their face. Like, oh, I should have that? And if they don't. And the idea of handling, like everybody handles this, approaches this craft differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious for you, to me, you got, I'm sure you're still just as hungry,
right.
But you've got such a solid career, man. It's such an amazing career. And yet here you are doing Joseph. Here you are still doing community theater. Practically breaking your neck, driving back and forth to be able to do this and everything. And you were not paid millions of dollars to do this. You are not necessarily doing this for the awards or something like that. You're doing it because...
It's free! I don't get paid. No, I do it. And I guess getting back to that is the hunger. I think people are afraid about the W-O-R-K word, work. It takes work. And nowadays, I think society, unfortunately, is instant gratification with their phones. They want something, boom, 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 on their phone. And so I think... I don't want to make that as an excuse or what's going on, but this is the way the world is going these days, and we either embrace it or we don't. But it is the new way, and I find that we have to accept that. But at the same time, my father always said, if you love something, it's not going to be work. It's going to be something that you love to do. So find something that you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life. And if you love doing theater, if you love doing radio, whatever your area is, you find a way to make money from it. And because we do have to pay the bills. And at this time, I'm still selling furniture at WGR Furniture in Appleton, Wisconsin. Come on down. You need new beds or whatever. Come see me. And so you have to pay the bills, but at the same time, you want to nurture your creativity and you want to find outlets to do that. And that's what's beautiful about community theater is that you can do all these great roles. You don't have to be a world-renowned actor. You can be a car cleaner. You can be a car salesman. You can be whatever you want to be, and then come into the community theater. And that's what's great about theater is that you can create these different characters. You can be whoever you want to be, and that's the beauty of acting. And so that's what I love about community theater is because there's no one looking at you going, well... you're not really Broadway material. You're not Academy Award material. Well, this is all about having fun and enjoying and creating. And that's what life is all about. It's a journey. And if we're not having fun, then we're doing something wrong because that's what it's all about. New experiences, new people experiences, and finding what's going on in our lives. And I guess stretching those possibilities in our life, because so many people just go from 9-to-5 job and they don't do anything else. Some will be a basket weaver, and some will have gardening going on, and some will do this or that. And those are those creative outlets. But that's what's great about acting, is you can be a different person each different show. And that's what's kind of great about that.
I've mentioned at an annoying level that since I was 7, I've wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. And the audience knows me well enough to know by now that I'm way too serious. So I was that kid at 7 trying to do this and thinking that I could. And I would say it was during the pandemic when we weren't able to do cabaret.
Correct.
Something happened for me where I wasn't able to finish the project. And that's never happened to me before.
Right.
And I was stuck. And I kept on finding myself going over lines for a show that was never going to happen, and
right.
these things. And I realized in that where I've always been with acting that I just never saw. It's weird for me. I'm actually having a hard time saying this out loud. I'm just as hungry as I've ever been. Mm-hmm. But if you told me, future me tells me, hey, James, you're going to live to this age and all you're ever going to do is community theater, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Like, that's all right.
Yep.
Like, and I never, like, 7-year-old me would never think that. Mm-hmm. And like, no, you've got to fight for every role. You've got to get as big as you can get. Mm-hmm. You got to be the best. You have to mm-hmm. do these things and stuff. And I had this approach to it where I didn't care about fame or money or any of that stuff. What I wanted was to be able to work with the greats. Mm-hmm. And well, you got to get to that level to be able to do that.
Right.
Do you find, as you get older, the more and more people you work with, like I do, and I think even Seth has talked about this before, it becomes so much more, not so much about the people, or not the talent that you're working with, but working, like enjoying to perform.
Yeah.
That's where yep. the real true love is about yep. this.
There are times that I get freaked out because, oh, God, I have to go do the rehearsal right now, and I was so busy with work that I wasn't able to really work on my lines. But again, you're trying to have fun, and that's what it's all about. Yes, we can go for being the, I guess the key is to be the best that we can possibly be.
Yes.
And do all that we can do to make that great. Do your homework and do your research. I think reading more than anything, knowledge is power. And when it comes mm-hmm. to a character, if you don't know what happened in you know, during the Depression or the crash, how can you do The Great Gatsby or anything mm-hmm. like that? So, or if you don't know anything about Art Deco or these different eras and times, then you can't do Grapes of Wrath, or you can't do all these other plays. So the more knowledge is the more you can read and find things about that era, that time, the more about your character. Do research. Right now, I'm looking at Elvis videos and other Joseph videos, the Pharaoh, and looking to see how they did the makeup and trying to get the Elvis character and some of the hand movements. And so that's research, and it's fun. It's not like I have to do this. I'm not getting paid to do this. I'm having fun, and that's what's nice, is that I have the luxury now to relax, not feel like I have to be on point because I am getting paid, and if I don't do my job, I might get fired or replaced. This is all about me having fun and experiencing mm-hmm. other people having fun. And that's what is great about community theater.
Well, and that's, you know, as the non-professional actor in the group here, I do want to speak to that a little bit, because
yeah.
it's really great to hear you guys say that, because that's basically what I go for too when I want to be in a show right. or whatever. I want to be with people. I want to, you know, it's the fun doing the character, or I got to direct this last year, and I got to direct a play too, yeah. and that was a great experience. You never done that before.
What play was that?
A Glass Menagerie.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I heard great things about that.
That was amazing. Yes. Yeah. Really good.
And that was, I mean, just being able to do that, it's yeah. something. I don't want to be a professional director, but getting to be able to do that experience was, wow, that's great. It was so much fun, and it was yeah. great learning experience, and that's what I get out of it. I am not interested in becoming a professional actor, doing it for a living, but as a sideline, you know, as a thing, and the fact that you guys say the same things
yep.
is really cool. That yeah. that's like, no, it's not just about, you know, doing it for a living. It's like, we love this, and this is what we want to do.
Yep.
Something you touched on there, Joel, that I is so serendipitous in a way. My oldest daughter, Bria, sent me a video yesterday, not knowing we were doing this interview, but sent me an interview with Alan Rickman, where he's talking about... So younger actors going to him and asking him, hey, I really want to get better. I really want to get as good as you. What classes should I take? What school should I go to? And right away, Alan Rickman, none of them. Like, what I encourage young actor or young actors, especially when you get into your 20s or something like that, he was saying, take in some art. Take in some theater, take in some books, get some cultural education and everything, so that when the role does develop, is there for you, you have something to build on. You have a personality that you can put to this. I'd never heard advice like that before. Yep. I've never heard another actor, like, I think maybe I haven't, I just didn't hear it as well, or that voice, the way I love so much of Alan Rickman's voice.
Alan was incredible. I mean, I loved him of course, the... Harry Potter, but then he also played that evil sheriff in Robin.
It's Hood. One of the only.
I love that comedy.
Oh my God! Cancel Christmas. Like, it's so good. I can watch it every year. Yep. Every year I watch it.
I have heard recently. I was listening to a podcast that apparently they published his diaries from shows that he did, and it's an amazing. It's an amazing collection of his thoughts and feelings about what he's going through. And it was, I mean, it was so, I mean, the person who was doing it was getting emotional reading some of it because of, you know, who doesn't like Alan Rickman, you know? Yeah. One of those things. It was a thing about Galaxy Quest, by the way.
I was just going to say Galaxy Quest. One of my favorite movies of all time. The humor behind that. He was an actor, and he was a consummate actor, and he's playing this stupid alien on this stupid show, and just the humor that comes from that.
It's almost an underrated movie.
It really is.
It's Sigourney Weaver in it. David. I get to see her enough like that.
The whole cast. We're digressing here.
David Mamet said it's one of four perfect movies.
Yep.
I believe that. Yeah. I'm with him on that. Yeah, that's a good one.
That is, yep.
As we're wrapping up, did you have some, Joel?
I was going to say travel. Travel, too. The more you travel, you get to see other cultures, other people. We in America don't travel enough to other countries. We have this idea that we are better than everybody at times, and we want to... the more we can travel and experience other cultures, we're going to see how great we have it here and not to take those things for granted because those freedoms that we take for granted have a good chance of slipping away at times. Mm-hmm. And we want to travel and experience other cultures and see what they have and what they don't have, because sometimes they have things that are even better than ours that we could be better. And I will leave it at that. We can always be better.
Well, like bidets. Why haven't we? What's up with bidets in this country?
Everyone I've heard who has one is like
it's life changing to get a bidet. Why don't we?
Is it Morgan's Tushy? I think they have this. I keep getting on my emails all the time. It's like, am I at that age now where I need to?
If you take anything from this interview, we wrap up. Joel already answered our question, our big famous question.
We won't make him do that again.
We're not going to make him do that.
We wrapped up and washed up.
We do. Want to promote Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat June 19th through the 22nd, 7 p.m. start times at the Spash Theater in Stevens Point. Get your tickets at PlayhousePresents.com. PlayhousePresents.com. Support local, buy local, everybody. I did want to wrap up with a quote from Mr. Rickman since we were talking him so much there. Actors are agents of change. A film, a piece of theater, a piece of music, or a book can make a difference. It can change the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joel. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you guys very much for having me again. And maybe we do Channel 3. Episode 3. Channel 3.
Maybe you'll be able to find it on Channel 3. Maybe we'll start something else up there, too. You might be on some there. But yes, we are going to have you back. There will be a part 3.
Right.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you. We'll be back with another Director's Cut next week here at WFHR.